بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، واللعنة الدائمة الأبدية على أعدائهم أجمعين لقيام يوم الدين. This will be our session 5 for etiquettes and little bit tips about the visitation of our infallibles عليهم الصلاة والسلام. And we are continuing still our first stage, which is Iraq, Ziyarats of Iraq. And of course, we'll not be able to cover all these ziyarats. There are maybe more than thousands of ziyarat if you look. But in these short days which we go, we only can cover few of the places which are like main important places. So we finished Najaf al-Ashraf. One thing was left. We said that Najaf, we have like Ayatullah al-Umma Sayyid Ali Sistani, which is supported by the majority of the scholars as a marji who is very highly knowledgeable and depth in his knowledge. So those who follow Sayyidi Sistani, they go and visit. And if even those who don't follow Sayyidi Sistani, he's a marja. Even if you don't follow him, like when I visit Najaf or Qom, I visit all the other marajim whom I do not follow. Because it's a blessing. A mujtahid is a blessed personality. It's a very highly, it's a representative of our 12th Imam Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajah al-Sharif. So it's an honor to meet the maraj. Even if they don't follow, many of them, they don't follow Sayyidi Sistani, they go and visit Sayyidi Sistani to get the blessings and to ask few questions. Of course, there's a strict security measures, like you have to go through, do not take carry in your pockets, no paper, no cards, no phone, no rings, no nothing, everything. Just go with your clothing. And if you want to give certain donations or letter, you give it to the scholar with you. They will take it to the scholars inside, and then they will give it to you inside after they have gone through security measures. Because many people, they have threatened Sayyidi Sistani that they are going to explode him, kill him, bomb him. So that's why the followers of Ahlul Bayt there, they are trying to keep him safe and secure from these kind of things. That is one big jihad where our Ayatullah al-Uzma Sayyidi Ali Sistani is facing, that enemies of Islam, they want to kill him, they want to bomb him, they want to explode him, they want to get rid of him. So therefore, and then there are other maraji also. So basically, the caravans, they go, they have to make an appointment. So all the group, like he visits like people like in 50s and 100s. I went once with the caravan, we had about more than 80 to 90 people with us inside that small room where they're all crammed into that small room. And we listened to his guidance, and some of the Q&A we asked this time, they are uploaded on Ask. If you scroll on the menu of Ask, you will find the Q&A we asked this year, they are uploaded there. They say this Sistani is very humble personalities. Imagine a marja at that caliber, like a king. He visits every zuwar coming from different parts of the world. He has a time to sit with them, to communicate with them, to at least, I mean, he's a very busy person in his teaching and bahth and researches and all those kind of things. But still, he will find out time for the regular people, lay people, to open his doors and to allow them to come and visit. So this is a kind of humbleness you'll find in many maraja. We can go and visit your marja. So therefore, the other maraja also, like Ayatullah Sheikh Ishaq al-Fayyad and Sayyid Muhammad Sa'id Tabatabai, you can visit. I mean, there are many, there are maybe 30-40 mujtahideens there. And these are like from the top. So Sayyid Sistani is of course appreciated by all the mujtahideen and maraja of Najaf as a supreme senior marja. So that by itself indicates the depth, weight of his knowledge which he carries, that all the maraja of Najaf, they appreciate, because he was directed by Sayyid Abul Qasim al-Khuy rahmatullah alayhi. He is the one who offered Salat al-Janaza on the body of Sayyid al-Khuy. Like whenever a mujtahid is told to offer, that's a sign of a representation. It means the custom of the mujtahideen and maraja. The grand marja dies, the mujtahideen, they request the marja who's in their opinion the second caliber marja. They can. I mean, these are like customs. These are not 1+1, 100% thing. But these indicate certain. All these things indicate certain depth of weight in knowledge which Sayyidi Sistani carries. Anyhow, inshallah, may Allah Subhanahu wa Taala protect him and protect all the maraja. So get this opportunity to visit at least Sayyidi Sistani and some other maraja and some other mujtahideen. Some mujtahideen might not necessarily be verified maraja as mubra' al-dhimma, but still they are mujtahideen and they are respected due to their knowledge, because marja, as I mentioned, must be mubra' al-dhimma. So there are mujtahideen in Najaf and Qom. You will not find anybody consider them mubra' al-dhimma, but they are mujtahideen. They present themselves for people to be followed, but the criteria is that for the people, they need to make sure that whoever they follow is mubra' lidhimma, and especially if he has depth and weight and knowledge. Then after we are done with Najaf al-Ashraf, we go to Karbala. It's about 1 hour drive in regular cases, unless if the security checkpoints, they take more of your time. So when we arrive Karbala, of course, now Karbala doesn't need any description, any, even the children, they know what's Karbala and what happened in Karbala. And if I start talking about the massacre of Karbala, we'll open the chapter of Masaib of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So we leave that Masaib of Imam Hussein to you, because you have memorized the Masaib of Imam Hussein. Every year you hear the tragedy of Ali Akbar, tragedy of Qasim, tragedy of Ali Asghar, tragedy of Abul Fadl al-Abbas, all these tragedies, you hear them. So automatically when you go to these places, you just picture whatever you have been hearing in your, and just cry, grieve. Karbala is all about grieving. Like Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, Imam Ja'far Sadiq, when they will come Karbala and they will be in the day of Ashura, Ash'ath Aghbar. You know what's Ash'ath Aghbar? That means the hair is not combed properly. Like they will do matam and the hair will not be combed in a night. And they will have this dust and they will keep dust on their head. And Ya Hussein and Ya Hussein. It will be grievous moments for our infallibles alayhi salatu wasalam when it comes to visiting Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. Like Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, when he comes, he said, Hussein, Ya Habibi, Ya Hussein. Oh my beloved Hussein. Habibun la yujibu habiba. A beloved one who does not respond to his beloved one. Of course, we said that they respond, but Jabir wants to hear. Jabir has always been hearing the words of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the words of Imam Hassan, the words of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the words of Fatima al-Zahra, the words of Rasulullah. He was a loyal companion to Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. So now he's missing Imam Hussein. So he's saying, Habibun, what happened, that beloved one whom I used to hear his voice, I cannot hear that voice anymore. So this is like the nature of those who you come to visit Imam Hussein. No slippers, no shoes. Of course, I mean, we all wear shoes and all those kind of things. But when we come into the shrine, we put the shoes, and just like a person who has lost his precious one, if you visit Karbala, if you visit shrine of Imam Hussein, grieving and crying as you have lost your beloved one, then he's our beloved one. Your ziyarat is accepted 100%, because that's the ziyarat. That's the ziyarat. The way our imams, they used to, Ash'ath Aghbar. Aghbar means ghubar, dust on his head. Ash'ath means that he'll be grieving on Imam Hussein. Of course, now there's no dust there on the ground. Otherwise, he'll come on the ground and he'll just sit down and just, Ya Hussein, and imagine the tragedy of Karbala and bring the picture of tragedy of Karbala and cry and grieve on Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is the way our a'immas, they used to come. And I mentioned that Ziyarat Ashura, our 12th Imam ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, a guy comes to him and asked him, Ya Ibn Rasulillah. One guy met the 12th Imam and he said, I have a problem. He said, why don't you recite Ziyarat al-Ashura? Alaykum bi Ziyarat Ashura. Many things 12th Imam emphasized. Ziyarat Ashura, Ziyarat al-Jami'ah, and Nawafil. Alaykum bin Nawafil. Nawafil is recommended salat, daily recommended salat, which many people are a little bit sloppy in it. Ziyarat Jami'ah is like, Jami'ah means Jami'ah, which is containing all of the infallibles, like from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the 12th Imam ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu. Assalamu alaykum. May salutations be upon all of you. Ya umana Allah. Plural. Ziyarat al-Jami'ah has all plural pronouns, because you are addressing all the infallibles together. So that's one Ziyarat al-Jami'ah, addressing all of them together. Ziyarat Aminullah, aiming at one specific infallible, and Ziyarat Imam Hussein, aiming at Imam Hussein. So Ziyarat Jami'ah is aiming at all of them. So this is one of the Ziyarat you need to visit wherever you go. At least try to visit Ziyarat al-Jami'ah in one place if you can visit, if you cannot do. But Ziyarat Ashura, Ziyarat Ashura in Karbala, even if it's not Ashura, you don't need to miss it. Ziyarat Ashura is very important. Very, very important. Because you, once you are in Karbala, just you remember the masaib of Karbala. If you have a person who's caravan leader or someone who's in the caravan, just make sure that the house, because in the haram it's difficult to recite masaib, though we find a corner many times and we recite masaib and majalis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and do it in the language of the children. The children, they don't understand Urdu, do it in English. If they don't understand, do it combination, one Urdu, one English. Let the children understand what is Karbala. We all know what is Karbala. When you take children and youth, let them understand what is Karbala and what is Ashura. It's a very important moment. So three ziyarat of Ashura. Make sure that you recite every day one ziyarat Ashura with a dua al-qama with it. Ziyarat Ashura, dua al-qama. And when you recite ziyarat Ashura, either before ziyarat Ashura or in the middle of Ziyarat Ashura, or at the end of Ziyarat Ashura, do the Masa'ib of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. Many people, they recite Ziyarat Ashura. They say, we recite Ziyarat Ashura to Ziyarat Ashura. Because you're reciting Ziyarat Ashura classical way. Ashura means grieve, means tragedy of Karbala, means the martyrdom of Imam Hussein in a most brutal way. Bibi Zainab salamullahi alayhi, scarf was taken, means all these tragedies. Picture them. And cry. This is Ziyarat Ashura. This is when you say, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. As-salamu alayka wa ala al-arwah allati hallat bifinaik. Your heart is crying. Your eyes are tearing. You are grieving in front of, you are picturing that Imam Hussein's body is lying without head. All these kind of pictures, there needs to be masaib. There needs to be majalis with the ziyarat. It's about time that our mu'mineen, they take somebody who recite proper majalis, not makes fairy tales, stories and all those kind of things. No, research proper majalis from proper historical resources, puts it all there in front of the children, in front of the families, so they can feel the masaib musibah. I keep repeating this, masaib, that means tragedy. They can feel the tragedy. They can feel the tragedy of Karbala. They can feel the tragedy of Imam Hussein, the tragedy of the women. All these things need to be pictured. If you don't picture this, your ziyarat is just like that. Salamu alaykum wa alaykum as-salam. But that ziyarat, man zara al-Husayn arifan, that ziyarat with ma'rifah, comes out by this kind of connection, grievous connection, crying to Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, grieving on Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, offering him condolence, Abdamallahu lakal ajr, ya Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, for your children who are martyred, for your children who are brutally taken into the captive prisons of Ibn Ziyad and Yazid, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's condemnation be them. When you recite this ziyarat, when you say, La'anallahu ummatan, may Allah's curse be upon them, just say, and Allah on those people who hurt Bibi Zainab alayhi salatu wasalam, who hurt Sukaina, who hurt Ruqayya, who hurt all our beloved ones of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam in Karbala. So this is Karbala. Karbala doesn't mean just going there and making ziyarat and coming out. No, Karbala means feeling the tragedy of Karbala, feeling Ashura. So make sure you have a good reciter of majlis there who reminds you of tragedy of Karbala there in Karbala. 3 reciters of Ziyarat Ashura, guaranteed fulfillment of your hajat. If you have any hajat, if you have any problems, if you have any need, it's guaranteed. Our 12th Imam, many mu'mineen, they recite Ziyarat Ashura 3 with grieving, they get what they want. And beside that, there is a narration that Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, of course Amir al-Mu'mineen is the above all the infallibles, but Imam Hussein has certain things Allah gave him as a gift, or a token of appreciation for his sacrifice, greatest sacrifice which has ever, never, ever made something like that. The universe in the history, like the Karbala, that's the sacrifice of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So, musibatan ma a'zamaha, what a great tragedy. So in this case, what happens? In this case, you are reciting the masail. You are grieving on Imam Hussein. It is mentioned that Imam Hussein has a unique position. What is this unique position? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the imams from his descendants. Like not from Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, the descendants. Ash-shifa fi turbatihi. If you eat the clay of Imam Hussein, because eating clay is haram, except for the clay of Imam Hussein, little bit for the cureness, you get cured. Ash-shifa fi turbatihi. Wa al-istijabatu du'a tahta qubbatihi. Under his dome, du'a is mustajab. Istijabatu du'a tahta qubbatihi. Ash-shifa fi turbatihi. Wal-a'imma min dhurriyati. Imams are from his descendants. Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. So just remember why Imam Hussein gave these sacrifices to save Islam. So now you are here, you are saying, Labbaik ya Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, Labbaik O my master, Ya laytana kunna ma'akum. We wish that we were with you so that we would have got this great success which you all had got, the shuhada, the martyr. So you are giving a promise. When you say ashhadu, I bear witness that I would have been with you, you need to be truthful with that. Because when the 12th Imam will come, the call of Imam Hussein, hal min nasir and yansurana, will rise again. So therefore, a person must be truthful when he gives these kind of commitments to Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, because otherwise you would be a hypocrite. So when you say ashhadu annaka kunta nuran, or ashhadu annaka tasma'ul kalam, I bear witness that you are listening to my words, wa taruddu salam, and responding to my salutations, my salams, That means you are witnessing. That means you believe in it. Because you cannot testify something which you don't have knowledge of it or you don't believe in it. So therefore, it is mentioned Karbala to take this. Now Karbala, mainly, there is two major shrines. Shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, shrine of Abul Fadl al-Abbas. Just imagine like Hajar between Safa and Marwa. This walk of Safa and Marwa, this walk between the shrine of Imam Hussein and shrine of Abul Fadl al-Abbas. There are people, they used to walk and do ma'tam of Imam Hussein, and they saw the 12th Imam was doing the ma'tam like that in between their rows. Like those who know the 12th Imam and those who have seen the 12th Imam and communicated with 12th Imam, like Allama Bahr al-Ulum, he had seen the 12th Imam among those people who were doing this kind of ma'tam of hitting on the head and running between Imam Hussein's shrine. And so without barefoot, without any shoes, they do this kind of ma'tam and walking. This reminds them walk of Bibi Zainab alayhi salam, and 40th when she was walking from the grave of Imam Hussein to the grave of Abul Fadl al-Abbas, and all those kind of tragedies. It's just remembering those tragedies, letting those tragedies live inside your heart, and then you live these tragedies in your life by practicing proper, by being a proper Muslim. So therefore, it is very important to understand that these are the main. Now, behind the shrine of Abul Fadl al-Abbas, you'll find two spots. Because Abul Fadl al-Abbas, he went close to the branch of the Euphrates River to get water, where there were about thousands of men there. Abul Fadl al-Abbas, he came there and he got some water. While he was coming back, he was ambushed. So one person cut his right hand, and then after that, one person cut his left hand, and then there was the drop of the water bag, and then he fell down. So all these spots are there where the right hand fell down, was martyred, when the left hand was martyred, when the water bag fell down, and when Abul Fadl al-Abbas fell down, and when grave of Abul Fadl al-Abbas, where Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam buried him, as mentioned in the narrations. This is on the side of Abul Fadl al-Abbas. On the side of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, there are several things you need to observe. Like you will see the shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Of course, in the shrine of Imam Hussein, the grave is like a box, and that there's a small box beside the leg of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This box beside the feet of Imam Hussein, that box is where Ali Akbar is buried. And then after that, we have this the grave of Ali Akbar, which is beside the feet of Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein and Ali Asghar is buried on the chest of Imam Hussein, which is broken because of the horses trampled. So Ali Asghar is the small infant, or Abdullah Radi', or any one of them. The infant child is buried on the chest of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So Imam Zainul Abidin buried Ali Asghar is this is like a Qibla. Imam Hussein is like that. Ali Asghar is buried, of course, facing the head, but he's in front of Imam Hussein, like adjacent to the chest of Imam Hussein. They both are facing Qibla, but one is behind, one is front. So Ali Asghar is front of Imam Hussein beside the chest, and Ali Akbar is beside the leg. And then there's a corner, which is the corner where Imam Zainul Abidin dug a grave and buried all the martyrs, Bani Hashim and non-Bani Hashim, in that big, huge mass grave. And then a special consideration was given to Habib ibn Mudahir, because he was a scholar and he had a special closest position with Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. He had a very special closest place to Imam Ali and Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. He was a very closest companion, and he was, some narrations, he was in the time of Rasulullah. He was a child in the time of Rasulullah, like he was at the almost same age of Imam Hussein. So he was like a companion of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. He lived all this. So when Imam Hussein was child, Habib ibn Mudahir was child. They both were like children since the childhood. So that's why he said a friend of the childhood. So that's why he was the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and the companions of all the infallibles until Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. So he has a special rank, special position, special consideration. So he has a special grave inside. And then there is a place where Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam was beheaded. It used to bleed every year in Ashura when the grave was uncovered. Now of course it's covered with marble, so that kind of miracle or mu'jiza or karama, it does not appear. But in those days, all those who are like old, they recorded, when we come to Ashura, we see this place, this spot where Imam Hussein was beheaded. Just picture this beheading. It really is very sad. Just picture the whole tragedy of Imam Hussein being martyred, and how was he martyred. You have to picture that. If you don't picture these tragedies of Karbala, you don't have any taste of the visiting of Karbala. If you really want to feel that, yes, you visited Imam Hussein, feel that tragedy, like those kind of sad moments of Imam Hussein farewelling, and now he's Shimr La'natullahi alayhi is on his chest, and all those kind of moments, is very important that you observe these kind of sad moments of Imam Hussein alayhi salam when he's left alone. So this is a place where Imam Hussein was beheaded by Shimr La'natullahi alayhi. All you need to picture all this. Martyrdom of Habib ibn Mudhar. Like what I say, that if it's difficult for you to arrange a majlis session inside the haram in the hotel, ask the hotel that this dining area, before serving lunch or before serving dinner, there needs to be a majlis. Or after the dinner or after this, whatever, like, there needs to be a majlis where these kind of majalis are recited and the memory is refreshed, so that the visitors of Imam Hussein, they get this kind of connection, sad connection with Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, the grievous connection with Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam and the martyrs of Karbala. This is basically, it's a, there are a lot of historical things. I mean, I cannot go into details, but it's just like to main things which makes your connection stronger with Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. There's also a grave of one of the descendants of the infallibles alayhi salatu wasalam behind the grave or shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. Behind the grave area, there's another thing. And then we mentioned that the original graves are basically the basement. These are just like a decoy or a wooden manifestation of the grave down. So basically, main grave lies down in the basement area. Sometimes what happened, some of the zuwars, if they give like good donations to the people who are helping the servants of the shrine, it's not a bribery. It's just like you give a good generous donation, they open the door of the grill of the shrine inside and they allow you to go in at night after the shrine closes at 9:30 or 10 or whatsoever time. After that, it's a cleanup time for the workers. So in the cleanup time, they open the grill and they go clean up. So if you want to clean up and get the dust from inside the grave, you can go inside, you can give them generous donations and they will allow you to go inside and get the dust from the grave or around the grave. And again, I mentioned this is not the grave, it's a manifestation, but whatever is in 3 miles of the grave of Imam Hussein is considered part of the grave of Imam Hussein from left, right, north, south. It's mentioned in the riwayat. Any infallible's grave, north, south, left, right, 3 miles, 3 miles of radius, is the part of the grave. But this is like just on the grave, so you can clean up, you can do du'as, you can grieve, you can recite majlis, putting your head on the grave. They will give you like 5-10 minutes to take a special. So these are like, sometimes I have seen with some caravan, we go, if some of the caravan people in the caravan, they want to have this kind of thing, so they arrange with the caravan leader to take me to this in charge of the haram. And they give generous donations and they allow that person or some of the person, few person, to go inside the cage, inside the grill, and do special respect and visitation for the Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. We have also in Karbala, you have some ulama, scholars also, they are buried there because Karbala was a hausa for some time. And there are now many scholars, they are there, they teach in Karbala, there is a hausa in Karbala. But of course, Najaf is Najaf. Everywhere you will find there are houses. In Iran, you have, in many cities, they have houses. But like Qom is like Harvard. Najaf is like Harvard. In Pakistan, you have houses. In Saudi Arabia, you have houses. In all these many countries around. Now in London, we have houses. In the United States, we established a house. But I don't know whether it's continuing or not. But anyhow, so houses can be established. But when you speak about Najaf and Qom, these are like Harvard, like the top ones. Where you want to do the higher researches, like you want to polish your knowledge, that's where you go. That's where you study under the top level of Mujtahideen, top level of Maraja. You strengthen yourself spiritually and intellectually and religiously. So that is why Karbala is also one of the parts where there was a time where Hausa had moved to Karbala and then came back to Najaf al-Ashraf. Hausa means Islamic Institute of Law, Islamic School of Law, Islamic law, jurisprudence, like Sharia, legislative system. So therefore, now in Karbala, there is a place where Ali Akbar was martyred. That place also, when you go there, just remember the musibat of Ali Akbar alayhi salam, the precious youth son of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. When there's a spot where Imam Hussein brought this child and presented it to the enemies so that they can give them water, infant child, and instead they gave an arrow, la'natullahi alayhim. And that's also a moment where you just stand there for a few minutes and just recite. There's an area where they say there was a lion. He was guarding the body of Imam Hussein because after they trampled and all those kind of things, what happened? There was a lion seen and he started to guard that no more violation to the body of Imam Hussein is done. So anyone who comes close, that the lion, I mean, this is a narration mentioned, historical, could be right, could be wrong, but it is there, there's a spot. They said that here is the, when you go there, they will tell you the story, because I don't want to get involved into two of these kind of stories, especially it's a historical narration, and the way it is presented, Allahu Alam, I don't want to take any responsibility. Might have happened, might not have happened. You by yourself go and listen to the story, the lion which guarded Imam Hussein's body. And then, of course, there is behind the shrine of Imam Hussein is the tents, the place where the tents were placed. Now, these tents, you picture that once you go inside the tent area, there is a chamber of Abul Fadl al-Abbas, like tent of Abul Fadl al-Abbas or the security zone. Because from behind, Imam Hussein has dug a trench, so no enemy could attack from behind. So there was a trench circling the tent area, and in front of the trench, the only opening was there where Abul Fadl al-Abbas's tent was there. That means anybody wants to come, he was the gate. Like Imam Ali was the gate of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abul Fadl al-Abbas was the gate of Imam Hussein. Imam Ali was the right hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abul Fadl al-Abbas was the right hand of Imam Hussein. See the resemblance, Imam Ali, Abul Fadl al-Abbas. Imam Ali for the Prophet, Abul Fadl al-Abbas for Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. Husainun minni wa ana min Hussein. That Hussein is from me. So he's now gate of the door of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like Imam Ali was the gate of the Prophet, now his gate. But now who is the gate of Imam Hussein? Now Imam Hussein is now defending the religion of, he's manifesting the Muhammadiism. He's manifesting his grandfather Rasulullah. So he needs to have a gate because Rasulullah had the gate Imam Ali. So now Abul Fadl al-Abbas is the bab, the gate, babul hawa'ij, the door of the hajat. So when you go to Abul Fadl al-Abbas, your hajat, your needs are fulfilled. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfills your need. As I mentioned, that story of that lady was, Abu Fadl, Abu Fadl. Abul Fadl al-Abbas is the generosity. So why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfills this? Because many times people say, oh, Imam Hussein is there. Why should I visit Abul Fadl al-Abbas? Abul Fadl al-Abbas has great loyalty and sacrifices. Needs to be appreciated. One of the ways Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates, that he hangs the hajat of the people on the shrine of Abul Fadl al-Abbas. You want it? Get it from there. I want you to appreciate this person, this great warrior, this great brave hero of Islam. I want you to appreciate him. So if Allah will not put hajat on the shrine of Abul Fadl al-Abbas, people will ignore him. Like there was a guy, he used to come and visit Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and just that's it. So Atamat al-Zahra salamullahi alayhi comes in the dream. Why? Because she says that, how rude you are to my son. She said, no master lady, why? She said, you are not visiting. He said, I'm visiting him. Who do you mean? No, she said, you are not visiting him. Who do you mean? I visit Imam Hussein. She said, no. My son Abbas, why aren't you visiting my son Abbas? You are visiting Hussein, but you are not visiting Abbas. He's my son. So since that time, he started visiting Abul Fadl Abbas because Ummul Baneen gave great sacrifices. Once Ummul Baneen took Imam Hussein as her son. So Fatimah al-Zahra says, Ummul Baneen, I am taking Abbas as my son. So Hazrat Abbas is the son of Fatimah al-Zahra salamullahi alayha. Abul Fadl Abbas is the son of Fatimah al-Zahra alayhi salatu wasalam. Fatimah al-Zahra embraced him as son, as Ummul Baneen, mother of Abul Fadl al-Abbas, embraced Abul Fadl al-Abbas. So see the kind of relation, the strong bond between Fatimah al-Zahra. So if you go there and if you say that, oh, Hazrat Abbas is a brother, or let me just visit Imam Hussein, the rank, the highest. Don't you ever make that mistake. That Fatimah al-Zahra salamullahi alayha does not like that. Fatimah al-Zahra does not like this kind of situation. So you have to observe the respect to Hazrat Abbas as you observe the respect to Imam Hussein. And Imam Hussein does not like it. There are so many wonders which has happened where Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam does not like people visiting him and nor visiting Abul Fadl al-Abbas. Visit Imam Hussein, visit Abul Fadl al-Abbas. It's very important. Our Aimmas alayhi salam made Abul Fadl al-Abbas Babul Hawa'ij, the door of Hajat. So Imam Hussein is the city. Abul Fadl al-Abbas is the gate. So Imam Hussein, you come to Imam Hussein. Ya Ibn Rasulullah, give me this, this, this. So what happens? That Imam Hussein says, okay, get it from my door, from my gate. And who's on the gate? Hazrat Abbas, Abul Fadl al-Abbas. See the relation. I cannot talk. I mean, I need sessions and sessions and sessions. But what you do is, your muallim or your sheikh or whoever is with you in the caravan, he will talk more about these kind of things and create more connection. So when you go to these tents, there's the tent of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, and guarding is the tent of Hazrat Abbas. Behind that, the second guard is tent of Ali Akbar. You have to pass through these two tents, and then you go inside the tent of Ahlul Bayt, where you see the place of worship of Imam Zainul Abideen, tent of Imam Zainul Abideen, tent of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu salam, tent of Bibi Zainab alayhi salatu salam. And there are many of the tents, they have not been marked, but these are main tents which are marked in the tent place. And then what happens that outside there's a tent of Qasim. Qasim, because you know, he was nephew of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu, son of Imam Hassan. So he was at the back end corner with Farwa. Why? Because Farwa, wife of Imam Hassan alayhi salam, she's namahram. She's not related to Imam Hussein. She has a hijab and all those kind of things. Because in the tent of Imam Hussein, all the women are related to him. Either Zainab or Umm Kulthum, or his wives, all these are related to Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. Or wife of Imam Zainul Abideen, daughter-in-law, there was wife of Imam Zainul Abideen, if there was wife of Ali Akbar, all these kind of things. If they have children, they had wife, these are like daughters-in-law for Imam Hussein. So Imam Hussein's family. And then outside was another tent, which was Qasim and his mother. Because Farwa was na mahram. She had to wear hijab in front of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. So that's why her tent was isolated from the tent of Imam Hussein. And on the sides were the tents of the companion. And there you will see the place where they kept the camel chambers. Once you pass the tent of Hazrat Abbas, you enter inside. Between the tent of Hazrat Abbas and tent of Ali Akbar, the camel, the chambers which they keep on the camel, how that, where they keep the women in it. These are set up in order to keep the women, let the camels rest. These are few things, inshallah. Our time is now running. Inshallah, in our next session, which will be session 6, we will continue a little bit of Karbala, and then we will travel to Kadhimin. Of course, I said Karbala cannot be covered in this small session. Karbala is, we barely cover on the 10 days of Muharram, 10 days of Arba'een. We barely cover the tragedy and the Masa'ib. One more thing, that there's a Thill Zainabiyya, the hill top of Zainab alayhi salatu wasalam, Lady Zainab, where she was up on this hilltop. She was looking at the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. And you need to go there and just recite the masa'if of what was Zainab telling Shimr, what was Zainab telling Ibn Ziyad, how was Zainab communicating with Imam Hussein, trying to come here, Imam Hussein says, go back Zainab, and all those kind of sad moments, you need to picture that. This is just for now, I will end, and inshallah, we have another few sessions left. In that, we'll complete the rest of the, a little bit of historical, a little bit of tips of ziyarat. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all our sins and shortcomings, and bless us the visitation of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in this world, and intercession of Imam Hussein in the hereafter. Wa akhiru da'wan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.